Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. Are you there? Well, before we get into the Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come to Your Word and never cease to find an abundance of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and power. And Father, right now, as we come to Your Word to receive from You, I just yield myself totally over to You, Father, that my thoughts would be the thoughts of the mind of Christ. I yield to You my voice, my tongue, that everything that is spoken, everything is done, will be done to the glory of Jesus. And I receive from You, Father, that anointing to present what You want presented tonight. And we give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, now, we've been talking here the last couple of weeks, the last couple of times we've been together, about steps to excellence in ministry. And again, don't ever think that you don't have a ministry. Everybody has a ministry. It's just that some ministries are different than others. Having that ministry is one thing, but being excellent in that ministry is something totally different. God expects us to have excellence in ministry. We expect the best from God. God expects the best from us. The first step that we covered in excellence in ministry was dedication. And the second step that we covered was singleness of purpose. And so that brings us up then to the third part, which is follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to have excellence in ministry, you have to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You have to. You don't have any other choice. You cannot be successful and have excellence in ministry in what God has called you to do if you follow the leadership of your mind and the leadership of what you think ought to be done. You can be dedicated, you can have singleness of purpose, but if you don't follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be messed up. Take a look in Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord. In fact, read this out loud with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Notice it doesn't say, trust in the Lord with all thine mind. You have to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, why is that? Well, it's because you have a new heart, but you don't have a new mind. See, when you were born again, the blood of Jesus Christ washed away all of your sin, and you received a new man on the inside. You became a new person on the inside, the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us clearly that the old things have passed away, all things have become new. You're a new person, see? You're not who you used to be. The reason you have a hard time understanding that is because you still have the memories of what you used to do and how you used to live. And so sometimes, mentally, you don't feel like you're a new person. But yet, spiritually, God sees you as a new creation, created in the image of Him. And He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, because that's the only place that you can really trust God. The only thing, we'll call it. The only thing you can trust God with and truly be led of Him. Why? Because your new created spirit, that new person, the new man that you are, was created by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, your new spirit is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And you are one in Jesus. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane before He was crucified? He prayed, you know, Father, that they would be one just as You and I are one. Well, see, that wasn't just a cute thing that He said or, you know, waxing poetic. He was talking a reality, a spiritual reality, that we have become one with God. Now that's an awesome thought. Everywhere you go, you take God with you. Every place on which your foot shall tread, Bible says, has been given to you. But that foot you're treading with, that's God's foot you're treading with. See, you know, you have people out there that talk about, especially like in the area of abortion or some of these other things, well, I can do what I want. You know, it's my body and I can do what I want. And it's my life, I can do what I want. Well, you either don't know what you're talking about, or you need to get saved. Well, I am saved. I can do what it is. My life, and I can do what I want. I am saved. Well, if you're saved, then Scripture tells me that you're not your own, that you were bought with a price, and you're the property of God. And so this body, it belongs to God. This is His. You are the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in you. Think about this. Everywhere you go, you're taking God with you. That's why it's kind of, you know, silly, some of these songs we sing. You know, like that one song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. How's He going to pass you? He's in you. The only way he could pass is to jump out and leave. He's not going to do that. And some of these other things that we sing about, I want God to be near me. And He is. He is. He's in you. And He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. So see, the only way that you can really, truly be led of the Holy Spirit is to trust with your heart, because your heart is indwelt and in communion with the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, I don't feel like He is. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel like. The truth is the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And He says, lean not into your own understanding. Now that's hard. Isn't that tough? Your own understanding says, don't step out of the boat. You can't walk on water. That voice you heard is not the voice of the Lord. You're foolish if you climb out and try to walk. But your heart says, that was the voice of your master speaking. Go ahead and get out of the boat. You're going to walk on the water. See? Well, when you begin to lean to your own understanding, then you will look at other things and judge them worthy of your involvement based on your understanding of what you see. Okay, think of it like this. Let's imagine that we go back. Well, see, this is 1997. Let's go back 300 years. 280 to 300 years. So we're going to get in our time machine. And we're going to set the dial to like 1697. All right? We're going to throw the switch. Boom! And back we go. Well, we arrive at 1697. We open the door. And we walk out. And we look around. And we see a village over yonder. So we go right over to the village. We say, hey, we've got some neat stuff to show you. We're from 1997. Well, first off, they're going to think you're nuts. Been chewing on some poison berries or something. 1997, huh? Right. And then you take out a cigarette lighter and say, flick my Bic. Flick my Bic. See that? Look at that. Look at that flame. Isn't that neat? And they'll jump back 10 feet. Then what you're going to do is you're going to take out your laptop computer and you're going to punch up some graphics and stuff. And you're going to, look at this, look what I can do here, look at there, look at that. See that? That's George Washington. Well, he's going to be the president of this country someday. And you don't even have a country yet, but you will. And when it becomes a country, he's going to be your first president. And then we happen to bring along with us a car. Say, hey, come here. I got this neat car. I want to ride in my car. And they look at it and they think, what in the world is that? And you open the trunk and you take out a boombox and you put in some music. And say, listen to this cool music. Hear that? That's a trumpet. And they say, well, what's a trumpet? You say, well, hear that? That's an electric guitar. What's an electric? You catch my drift? Pretty soon, you know what they're going to do? They're going to call you a witch. And they're going to burn you at the stake. And here you'll be quoting scripture the whole time while you're on fire. Why is that? It's because they looked at what you had based on the understanding they had of where they lived. See? Now, that's kind of maybe a silly illustration, but it draws attention to the fact that when we have God tell us, I want you to do something for me, and we lean to our own understanding, then what's going to happen is we will begin to find the reasons why we can't do it. And God's going to say, no, I said you can do it. And this is what I want you to do. Trust me with your heart, all your heart, and don't lean to your understanding. When you begin to do that, I'll tell you right now, sooner or later, somebody's going to come along and criticize you. And they'll tell you you're wrong. They'll say, well, that can't be God. But I know it's God, because I know it's God. I'm trusting with my heart. I'm following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I know it's God. And then later on down the road, they'll understand, well, yeah, I guess it was God, but they're not going to come and tell you they missed it. They're not going to come and apologize to you. They'll just kind of leave you alone from that point forward. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Every part of your life, every manner of your life, acknowledge Him. He will direct your ways. He'll direct your paths. Your financial paths. He'll direct your financial paths. your physical past. Acknowledge Him first when you're facing any kind of a sickness or disease. I mean, if something tries to slam into your body and take you down, acknowledge Him first instead of acknowledging medicine. Nothing wrong with doctors, nothing wrong with medicine. They have their place. But acknowledge Him first. This right here, when I was going down the steps, and I slipped off that step, and my foot went down and turned under, I heard that bone snap. I mean, it sounded like somebody took a pencil and just snapped it. I heard it. And it was only by the power of God and probably angels that, because my arms were full and I had a cup of coffee and I just kind of bounced down the rest of the steps on my right foot. I never dropped anything, spilled a little bit of the coffee and that was it. Never fell. I never fell the whole time. All right. I know it was God. I also know what I heard. So I made it over to where the washer and dryer were, set everything down. And I started getting kind of woozy. So I laid down on the floor. And I'm laying there and I'm, oh, in the name of Jesus, oh, no, it's not broken in Jesus' name, it's not broken in Jesus. I'm, you know, quoting scripture and all this other. He said, well, it didn't work. Well, it did work. Because you see, I went upstairs and had to lay for about 2.5 hours before Kathy was able to come home and take me to the urgent care. Got to urgent care. I really didn't have much pain. Once I made it back upstairs, I hopped back up the steps on my right foot, made it into bed. I really didn't have pain. I mean, there was some discomfort, but, you know, when you think in terms of a broken bone, you know, you start thinking, is it pain? Well, I didn't have it. It just wasn't there. And so we went down there, and the doctor took a look at it, and he said, well, he said, it's not broken. It's just you just sprained your ankle. Because there was hardly any swelling. Honestly, there was no discoloration, there was no bruising, and there was hardly any swelling. You had to stare to see any swelling, and then you could see just a teeny little bit. He said, well, you just sprained it a little bit. He says, but as procedure, we're going to take some x-rays. And so, okay, so we go over and take x-rays. Come back in the room, and Kathy's in the room with me, and we're sitting there. You know that little view box that they put the films up on? All right. Well, it was right outside my room. Now, the door was open, and so I knew they had my films because I heard them take it out of the envelope, and it's wobbling, you know, the x-ray film, and they put it up on that view box. All of a sudden, I start hearing this, ooh, oh, ooh, look at that. Those bones don't even meet. So I knew they were talking about me. And they all come back in at the same time, and they're looking down at it. And the doctor says, well, I've been wrong before, but, you know, I've never been this wrong before. And that bone, you know, bone, it wasn't just broken. It was broken at an angle, kind of jiggy-jaggy. It was, I mean, it looked mean on that x-ray film. But the thing is, just to look at my leg, you'd have thought there's no way that bone was broken like that. So, yeah, the bone was broken, but I'm going to tell you what, God touched it and kept it from being worse than what it was, and that swelling and everything had everybody messed up. This one lady, one of the nurses, well, she was a nurse's aide in training. She was all excited because she'd never seen a broken bone set before. She says, oh, this is really neat. I get to see a cast put on a leg. I said, you're probably glad I came in tonight, aren't you? So, even though the bone was broken, the fact of the matter is, yeah, I could have called 911 and all, but you know, I chose Jesus first, and God ministered to that leg. And now here, basically 2 weeks later, I'm without the crutches. And you know, I give God the glory for that. But you see, in every area of your life, your family, your job, everything, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths, no matter what. He will direct your paths. When you reach the point of being dedicated and you have singleness of purpose and you're trusting the Lord for your direction, it's vital that you trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. I want you to see something here. This is really interesting. Acts chapter 16. Now in Acts chapter 16, what had happened, Paul and Timothy went into an area and they were preaching and establishing some churches. We're going to pick the story up in verse 5. Look at verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. Man, why couldn't they get normal names like Dayton? And they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared unto Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now, what's interesting about this? The Holy Spirit kept Paul from going into Asia and into Bithynia. He wanted to go in there and preach the gospel. Now, you know there are unsaved people there that need to hear the story of Jesus, how they can be born again. But yet, he says, we were going to go in there and we were going to preach the gospel, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let us. Now, think about that. It's God's will for everybody to be saved and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But now, here's the Holy Spirit, which is, the Holy Spirit is God, you know that, saying, don't go preach. Now, doesn't that sound strange? Well, there's a reason for it. Part of that reason is that God wanted Paul and those who were with him to go over to Macedonia and preach there. But yet, you see, if Paul had gone by the leadership of his thinking and his mind, he'd have gone into Asia because of all the people that needed to hear about Jesus. He would have gone there. But yet, he was following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and therefore, he didn't go into Asia. And so he says, well, if we can't go to Asia, then maybe we can go over to Bithynia. And then the Holy Spirit says, no, you can't go to Bithynia either. And then as he's sleeping at night, he gets this vision. The Holy Spirit gives him this vision to go into Macedonia. I heard a fellow one time, or actually I read this quotation. He said, if you see the need, then you're the one who is to meet it. Well, now that sounds good, doesn't it? But that's not true. Because Paul saw the need in Asia. He saw the need in Bithynia. But yet, neither need was to be met by Paul. The Holy Spirit said no. His mind was saying yes, but the Spirit said no, and so he leaned not to his own understanding, but he acknowledged God, trusted with his heart in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, and therefore ended up over in Macedonia, where that's where God wanted him to, wanted him to go. But you see, if you just because you see a need, doesn't mean that you're the one that's supposed to fulfill that need. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But you had better be sure God's telling you to do something. Now, granted, you drive down the road and you see a car accident and there are people laying out there in the street. You don't have to go into deep intercession to find out if God wants you to stop and help those people. Some things are a given. You just know that's what you're supposed to do. But in other areas of your life, you better be sure that's God telling you to do this. I heard a pastor one time say of a large church. He said, when people come to me and say, Pastor, we need to start such and such a ministry here in the church, I tell them, go and pray about it and find out how God wants you to do it. And he said the reason for that is because if they see or sense that we need to start something like that in the church, it's very possible that God is directing them to get involved with it. If I take that from them and begin to do it, then we miss God. Maybe God doesn't want it. Maybe that's just something somebody thinks ought to be done. But if God's laid that on their heart, they need to pray and get direction for that. And then when they come to me and share with me the direction that God has given them, together we'll determine if it really is of the Spirit or just mental assent to something that should be done. And if it really is of the Spirit, he said, I'm going to let them do it because God laid that on their heart. And they're the ones that are supposed to do that, not me. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in that. Because a lot of people would say, well, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. Well, that's all well and good. Maybe those things are important. However, are you just saying that because you think it should be good or should be done because it's a good idea? Or are you saying that because the Holy Spirit's directing you to do that? See, that's where you really have to trust the direction of the Holy Spirit. And you can't let circumstances or situations influence you. Look over in Acts 21. In Acts 21, chapter 10, what's happened is Paul and his people that were traveling with him were in Caesarea. And they were preaching and so forth, and they were staying with Philip. And then in verse 10 it says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Now, if you go just by your own understanding, and somebody walks up, takes your belt, ties himself up with it, and says, This is how the owner of this belt is going to be dealt with when they go down over here to Franklin. You're going to say, wait a second. Maybe going to Franklin is not such a good idea. Maybe I shouldn't go down over there. See, that's going with your mind because your mind's going to tell you to avoid pain at any cost. You don't want to get hurt. You don't want to get tied up. So don't do that. But yet, he says, I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. Well, how did he know that for sure? Well, look in chapter 20, verse 22. He says, And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Well, see, that's before this thing with Agabus came up. He says, I'm bound in my spirit. I know in my spirit that I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem, but I don't know yet what's going to happen. And then if you turn back to chapter 19, verse 21, there was a riot at Ephesus. And then after the riot, it says in verse 21, After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, After I have been there, I must also see Rome. So see, that where it says purposed in the Spirit, it means that he had an understanding in his spirit. He sensed the leadership of the Holy Spirit telling him that you need to go to Jerusalem. So Paul was already convinced in his spirit that he had to go to Jerusalem no matter what. And he was so willing to be led of the Holy Spirit, and that was his desire to satisfy God's call on his life, that he said, Hey, listen, don't cry. And don't try to make me feel any worse about this, you know, having to leave you folks, because I love you all. But yet I know what the Holy Spirit's called me to do. And yeah, I'm going to be tied up, evidently. And yeah, it looks like there's some hard times ahead. But I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, they came into agreement with him and said, Well, okay, the will of the Lord be done. Aren't you glad they came into agreement with him? Don't you wish it was always that easy? People come into agreement with you. But you can't let circumstances and situations influence your decision. You have to be willing to be led totally by the Holy Spirit. You have to do that. Somebody says, Well, you know, that's interesting. And I agree with that. And I like what I hear. You're right, I'm dedicated and I've got singleness of purpose. And I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's good. That's really good. I'm happy for you. But there's a problem. You say, what problem is that? Now you go into some churches and you listen to this message and you present the speaker with this and you say, there's a problem. So, what do you mean there's a problem? I thought you said you're dedicated. I am dedicated. I thought you had singleness of purpose. I do have singleness of purpose. I thought you said you want to be led by the Spirit. I do want to be led by the Spirit. Well, good then. Go. Go do it. But there's a problem. What do you mean there's a problem? I thought we've covered everything. You said you want to be led by the Spirit. I do. You've told me I need to be led by the Spirit. I agree, and I will be led by the Spirit. But you haven't told me how. Huh? So tell me, preacher, how do I get led by the Holy Spirit? And you know what most of them are going to do? They'll look at you and say, Well, you just trust Him. Okay, I trust Him. But how? Well, you just do. You just trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I do trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But tell me how to be led of the Holy Spirit. How do I know I'm being led by the Spirit? And you keep pushing them, pushing them, and pushing them. Eventually, they're going to, if they're honest, they're going to say, I don't know. But you just do it. You just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? God's not going to tell us to do something and then not tell us how. If you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, and God tells you you have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, He's going to tell you how. He's going to tell you how. You want to know how? All right. In the army, a captain can only follow the orders of a general. If he's in verbal or written contact with that general. Then what happens is the captain relays the information to the troops and the troops march forward. But if the troops are off somewhere on a picnic, they're never going to receive the orders and they're either going to get lost or get left behind. God is our general. And over in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, it tells us that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. So guess who we are? We're the troops. The voice of our captain is the Holy Spirit. See? If we aren't in the presence of our captain's voice, we'll never know for sure what to do. And we'll either wander aimlessly from one failure to another, or we'll just sit down and do nothing and miss out on what God is doing in these last days. See? Now let me ask you something. Grace, let's say that I come up to you and I say, Grace, Kathy and I want to have some fellowship with Steve and Sandy, but we don't know what to do. Would you give me some ideas? Tell me what Kathy and I can do to have fellowship with Steve and Sandy. What would you say? Just, what are some suggestions? Time's up. We want to have fellowship with anybody.
Take them to an
old-fashioned car show. Okay, so we can take them to an old-fashioned car show. That's what Steve likes. Sandy likes it too. We'll go to a. So in other words, if we're going to have fellowship with them, we need to get with them. See. If I'm going to have fellowship with them, don't you think it's going to help if I get with them? Do you think it's going to help maybe if I talk with them? You ever gone out to eat with anybody and just sat there and nobody ever said a word? No. Usually when you get together to eat, you talk, don't you? You don't talk about the pastor, but you talk about maybe other people. No, you don't talk about anybody. But you talk and you get together. You get in the presence of each other and you begin to communicate with each other. And when you leave, you say, man, didn't we have good fellowship with each other? Yeah, we did. We'll have to do this again sometime. That's right. We're going to have to. It's the same way in our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have fellowship with God through His Holy Spirit, we have to get in the presence of the Holy Spirit and communicate with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we can truly, truly gain the understanding of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Take a look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 2, it says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. And then in verses 14 and 15, Paul goes on to say, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And then in verse 18 he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Now, when you read this, at first it might seem like he's contradicting himself. He says here, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. But then back up in verse 14, he just got through saying, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So why in the world would he say, I'm thankful that I can pray in a way that I have no idea and no understanding of what it is I'm praying about? That's not what he's saying, because the answer lies here in verse 15. He says, what is it then? The first thing he says is, I will pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the Spirit. Then what is he going to do? And I will pray with the understanding. Because you see, as you begin to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through that time of prayer, through your fellowship of speaking with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaking with you, through praying in the Holy Spirit, your spirit then, through that ministry and that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, begins to gain the understanding of what God's direction is for you in your life. Then, because you have the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ begins to work to interpret to your understanding mind the things that you need to pray about in the understanding. And as you're praying in the Spirit, you will begin to gain an understanding of the things that you need to pray about in the Spirit. And you'll begin to gain an understanding how to pray with the understanding. As you're praying in the Spirit gives you an understanding of what to pray for. And see, when you're trusting the Lord for leadership and guidance in your life, do you know what tonight holds for you? Do you have any idea what God's perfect will for you is for the rest of the night? Well, you might think you do, but generally speaking, if I ask you what's coming up for the rest of the night, you're going to tell me, well, I really don't know. I have an idea, but I'm not really sure exactly what's going to happen from this point on. Well, when you're talking about divine leadership and what God wants you to do in your life, when it comes down to all of the specifics, you really don't know. You don't know what your future holds. You don't know what God's perfect plan is, but God knows. See? God knows His perfect will. He knows His perfect plan. And He says here, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, what do I do then? I pray with the Spirit and I pray with the understanding. I first pray with the Spirit and then I begin to gain the understanding as my mind becomes enlightened by virtue of having the mind of Christ in me. As I pray in the Spirit, I'm in direct communication with God and God is in communication with me. I'm praying God's perfect will, His perfect leadership in my life. Look back over in Romans chapter 8. And you'll see this a little bit clearer. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you see, as you begin to pray in the Spirit, what you're doing here, you're praying in the Spirit. You don't know exactly how to pray as far as your future is concerned, and as far as God's will and the direction that He has set aside for you. But yet, as you begin to pray in the Spirit, you're literally allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you and intercede for you on your behalf the perfect will and direction that God has set aside just for you. And as you speak that forth, you're doing the same thing that God did on the days of creation when He said, let there be light. And the power of His spoken word brought into existence, into the natural, those things which He was creating. When you pray in the Spirit, you're speaking the words of God, birthed by the Holy Spirit through you, and you are releasing into the atmosphere the creative power of Almighty God to bring into your life the establishment of His perfect will for you. Hallelujah. And that's why when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will minister to you and begin to give you that divine understanding. And as we renew our minds by the transforming power of God's Word, we become sensitive to the inner voice of God's Spirit. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God is the one who dictated this Bible. And the authors that heard the voice of the Lord speaking to them, the Holy Spirit spoke to them, they wrote this word. And so as you transform your mind by reading this word, you become familiar with the voice of God's Holy Spirit. And you become more readily able to recognize the voice of His Spirit as He speaks to you to give that direction. Then as you begin to gain that understanding, you begin to realize what these mysteries are that you've been praying in the Spirit, and you begin to receive and understand God's leadership and direction, and you become more and more understanding of what before seemed so hard to understand. To be led by the Holy Spirit. If you're going to have success in anything that God has called you to do, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. Would you please stand? If I come to you and I say, well, I want you to go to California. You say, well, hey, that sounds good. I'll go to California. And then you go to somebody and you say, well, you know, Pastor told me he wanted me to go to California.
Oh, he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, how are you going to get there? Well, I don't know. Where is California? I don't know. You going to take a plane or a car or a bus? Or, I don't know. But wait a second. He told you to go to California, but he didn't tell you how to get there. Well, not yet. Did you ask? Well, no. Why are you going to know then? I don't know. I'll just have to trust. Well, see, that doesn't make any sense. But that's what people have been telling you for years when it comes to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I know what God wants me to do. He wants me to be a such and such. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, I don't know. Well, you just got to trust God. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's good. But how? That's why God gave you the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that ability to pray in the Holy Spirit so that you could pray and communicate with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And see, this is something we haven't been taught. It really is. We haven't been taught that when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying perfection. We haven't been taught that when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying God's perfect will. We haven't been taught that when we pray in the Spirit, we're releasing the creative power of the perfect words of God into the atmosphere to change circumstances. You're going to be hearing me say this a lot here, over and over. Why? Because it is so important that we come to the understanding. See, I'll say this tonight for those of you who are here, but you hear me say this again. If the devil... Well, the devil doesn't want you to get saved, see. He does not want you to get saved. But if he can't keep you from being saved, what's the next best thing? To keep you from getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If he can't keep you from getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the next best thing is to keep you from praying in tongues. And that's why it seems like such a foreign concept to so many Spirit-filled people when you tell them, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Can you pray to God with the understanding as you drive down the road in your car? Well, sure you can. You can pray in the Spirit when you drive down the road. You don't have to wait till you get goosey bumps up and down your back and you get on your knees and turn the lights down real low and clench your hands like this to pray in the Spirit. If you can pray while you're doing the laundry, pray with the understanding, you can pray with the Holy Ghost while you're doing the laundry. And instead of speaking English, you're praying in that heavenly language. Perfect words, perfect will, perfect plan. If you're going to be led by the Spirit perfectly, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. But it feels so unnatural. You know why it feels unnatural? It's because you've never been told to do it. And when you first start, you have to force yourself. Doesn't that sound weird? Spirit-filled people having to force themselves to pray in the Spirit. It does. But again, if he can't keep you from being baptized in the Holy Ghost, he'll do everything he can to keep you from praying in the Spirit. Because he knows when you pray in the Spirit, he has no idea what you're saying. He has no idea the perfection that you're praying. He has no idea what God's saying through you. He doesn't know how to deal with it. Because you don't clue him in. When you say, oh God, save Uncle Billy, he knows I'm going after Uncle Billy. But when you begin to pray in the Spirit, he sits there and scratches his horny little head and says, I don't know what they're saying. We got to tell them it's not right to pray in the Spirit, that they can't do it unless they're in their bedroom all alone and everybody else is gone and the lights are turned out and they get their eyes clenched like this. That's what it'll tell you, see? God says, well, I told Timothy, neglect not the gift that is within you through the laying on of hands. Huh? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that I can be led by the Holy Ghost. I want to thank you, Jesus. You didn't leave me comfortless, but you went to the Father and prayed and the Holy Ghost was sent. I thank you for my own personal day of Pentecost. And I thank you, Father, for continuing to show me Scripture in a whole new way to understand more and more why I need to pray in the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray over all of us that we would begin to realize the importance of praying in the Spirit to release your divine power through those words into the atmosphere around us.